for every, I mean, up through every night.
They literally threw every night.
Okay, well, I just texted the sick guy. I said, hey, sick guy, give me your golf picks. And he's not in Texas, so he might be asleep, but it doesn't matter.
Hey, Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning Podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up. Because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Came back and won. Just the, you know, like we said, every time we open a show, there, this is a great time of year that we talk about, and certainly want to express how excited we are to see that at least somebody locally is fighting for a championship, and that would be your baseball and softball teams here at University of Florida. So, you know, this is a good time of year, my man. We got basketball playoffs. We've got Mavericks staying alive. We've got hockey playoffs. Calgary and Edmonton last night. Tampa Bay taking the. Taking some time off now with the Rangers and the Hurricanes, knotted up at 2-2. That guarantees that the Lightning, get
nice
a week off, at least a week to heal and get ready for the next series to try to get to the Stanley Cup in three-peat. So this is exciting stuff.
Yes, hey, let me recap here. Our good friends on the Facebook Live question and comment line presented, of course, by Meldon Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. We had some people saying we had some audio issues at the very beginning. Let me reset real quick, and I know we're back on. Thanks to everybody on the Meldon Law Facebook Live. But real quick, Terry Norvell in for Shane Matthews. Shane is out again today. JC, first half of the show, a lot to cover, including a thrilling SEC baseball game that went extra innings. Florida gets by South Carolina. JC, we'll talk about that in a quick second, break it down. There was a lot in a 2-1 game. You got to love baseball. There was a lot going on. JC, real quick, we want to get to the picks and let you talk real quick about our Peachland Dentistry picks. But we don't need to spend a lot of time here, JC, but I just want to throw out and give you a few seconds. Obviously, we're aware of the tragedy that our country suffered last night in the state of Texas, the brutal shooting, and we're aware of that, and hopefully this can be an hour of just getting away. I know a lot of people probably watched the news all night last night. Adults kind of watched the news, and hopefully we can pull you away from just a tragic situation that unfolded in Texas, and we're aware of it, but, you know, life does go on, and we're just going to maybe give you 1 hour. JC?
Honest to God, I used to religiously watch the news, but I've found that lately I can't anymore.
It's hard. So,
you know, in terms of what we like to do here in the mornings to get the day going, you know, every day I think about football. And even though it's not football season, Terry, right now, it's still the talking time. And we have coaches meetings coming up, I guess, this week in Destin that's setting up because of last week's events. Setting up to be very interesting, although I don't know how the SEC wants to control this, because it sounds like to me they're trying to downplay the entire event. And I get that. They don't want to be distracted with Saban and Jimmy Bowe and all this. But what I do want to focus on is, when are we going to get some constructive dialogue, and are we even going to have it on the playoffs, on scheduling, on expansion, that leads to something a little bit more substantive than having to wait until July of 2025. Is there any chance we could get the SEC, and then once we do get the SEC full with Texas and Oklahoma, how are we going to schedule this? And maybe it's just not worth talking about because everybody knows it's not going to happen in 3 years. However, in the Big 12, you've got Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, and UCF basically trying to write a check today to get themselves into that scheduling in the Big 12. So I think about that a lot. I think about our postseason that's going to happen now with college sports in baseball and softball. And I'm thinking about, I'm always thinking about golf, Terry. So, and then the NFL, you know, I always think about OTAs. We've got all these players that don't want to show up at OTAs. Kyler Murray doesn't want to show up at OTAs. You know, a lot of these big shots, they don't want to show up to the optional training activities. And does that matter or does it not matter? I don't know. I mean, so these are just things that are going across my mind in the sports world, Terry.
Good time of year. I mean, this month of May is a good overlapping time of year. Yeah, the SEC and the inclusion of Oklahoma and Texas will happen sooner than later. I think Greg Sankey threw some stuff out the other day about the SEC having its own playoff. I think that's to rattle the cage a little bit. The SEC is not going to have their own playoff, but I think Sankey's kind of rattling the cage a little bit. And my God, when Oklahoma and that great program, athletic program, gets in along with Texas, the conference is just going to be off the chain. It really is.
Well, it really is going to be the talk of college athletics. And, you know, I think that, and it is, basically. But when you've got all these other sports that the SEC competes in, and I'm not sitting here hired by the SEC to promote the SEC, but it's obvious, isn't it, that most of what's happening is either – I mean, look, Oklahoma has a great program. They just won the gymnastics national championship. They're likely going to win the softball national championship. They're great in golf. Oklahoma's is just a great addition to this league, and Texas will be as well once they start playing Texas A&M. You can't find another rivalry that rivals that type of animosity outside of maybe Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, those are the, you know, Texas A&M and Texas, man, that is blood. So this is what we need, and this is what I like talking about. But then I hear, oh, well, JC, you can't talk about that because – it's 3 years away. But is it 3 years away? Yeah. And how's it going to not be 3 years away? So this is the kind of thing. And then when it comes to, you know, the NIL, we've been talking about NIL ad nauseum and what's going to be done. How's the NCAA going to procure some sort of normalcy? No idea. No, absolutely no idea.
Yeah. And
don't know how they're going to do it.
The NCAA, frankly, I hate to say this, they need Congress to step in. I hate to say it because I think that is going to muddy the water, but Congress can set rules, laws of the land. The NCAA cannot. And when you come to trying to cap an individual's earning potential, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen unless they become employees. The NCAA has no jurisdiction. They need jurisdiction called the law of the land.
Let me ask you this, Terry. Do you think there is any movement or any opportunity or any chance that at some point in the future, because I know what Shane says, but do you think we'll eventually get to schools paying these kids?
Absolutely. And I know differs. I think the players will have to become employees of the university. That way, right now the players, there are 500,000 student athletes in college athletics. They're all independent contractors. You can't really blame. The minute the NCAA could come out today and hand a press release and say, here are our NIL rules and regulations. It's capped individual. It's capped team, blah, blah, blah. That'll go straight to court. One player will take it straight to court, and it won't hold up because they have no jurisdiction. If the players become – the reason the NFL has a salary cap and no tampering, they have employees. They're employees, and they have a union, right? The NCAA has nobody to negotiate with. 500,000 independent contractors, they're going to have to go. And then obviously it spins off onto a bunch of other pieces of onion unpeeling. How long is the school part? How long is the student part going to be in it? We're not far away from these student athletes going, we're getting paid. This whole going to school thing, forget it. Why are we going to school? We're pro football players.
Yeah, well, you make it part of the requirement to the employment agreements. I don't know, but I know contracts will have to be established in some form or fashion. There has to be.
And the NCAA has to – the NCAA is not at fault here. They don't have jurisdiction. You know, now, when the players become employees of the university, I think that has to happen. Then the universities are going to go, if you're the universities, you're going to go, number one, I'm going to cut my workforce as much as I can. That's business 101. So you're going to lop off from 85 to about 55. So each school is going to have about 30 guys going, I don't have a way to pay for school. Number two, the universities, if they're employing the players, they're going to say, we don't pay your housing. We don't pay your food. We've got 5,000 other employees on campus that when they go home, they go to their own house and they go to their own Publix. A lot of angles to unpack here.
And this is what the Oklahoma Athletic Director, Joe Castiglione, says. He says there's a lot of this employment issue that you don't want to have to get into. Shane is emphatic by saying it will never happen. When I hear somebody say it will never happen, that leads me to believe that at some point it's going to probably happen soon.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. But I bring this up to Shane. He's absolutely shuts it down. But then with what you're just saying, these guys have to realize that the business model that Brett Kavanaugh basically wiped out is gone. It will never come back. So that's where the genesis of this question comes to. How will they employ these athletes? Because
it's a tough situation.
But they are. And I don't know if it's going to be 1099. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know if it's W-2. These are things that these guys are going to have to figure out because it cannot continue as it is. Otherwise,
you're going to have losses. By the way, last thing on this, and we'll move along. And I'm going to say when it happens, when they become employees of the university, I think it has to go that way. When that happens, all the stuff you see in the NFL, you'll see at the college level. And how will the fan digest this? I'll give you two examples. When it happens and they become employees and they have their own union, get ready, college football fan, your favorite team and your favorite player, you're going to have strikes and you're going to have holdouts. I heard somebody on this show about a week ago ask Shane and you about a strike. And I'm telling you, that will happen. Your favorite team, you're going to hear on a Friday afternoon, wow, did you hear? The star quarterback at Auburn didn't get on the plane to go to LSU. He's holding out. He thinks the university needs to pay him more money and go find more. That will happen. So be ready for that, fans. Be ready for your fans. Hey, yeah. Saturday morning, 2 hours before kickoff, pregame. Hey, so-and-so's team, they're threatening not to come out. They're on strike. They're holding out. This player's holding out. He's in street clothes. That will happen, JC. That will happen.
All right. Well, I'm holding you to it, Terry. I won't hold
you. Want it to happen. But it will happen. Hey, let me tell you real quick. At South State Bank, we understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State has 4 convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking forward, member FDIC. And, of course, Celebration Point is where the Gators come to celebrate with premium brands like Visors, Rooftop, Dave & Buster's, Regal Cinemas, Hotel Indigo, Sensei Asian Bistro, Escapology, and the HBC's restaurants, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Of course, where every Tuesday you can enjoy 50% off handcrafted martinis from 4 until 10 every Tuesday. We will see you at Celebration Point, where Gators come to celebrate. So, JC, want to recognize Peachland Dentistry. They sponsor the picks, and you're trying to get Shane's picks. Real quick, talk a little bit about golf and picks. And if I have to take some golfers, I'll take I like Gary Player. I think he's playing well. That Trevino, he's a scrapper. He's never out. Give me the Golden Bear. Give me the Golden Bear.
Poor Terry stuck in the 70s. I don't blame you, though. Those were some great times. When you think about what they played with, the persimmon clubs, the balls that they had those days, the way the courses were not as manicured, my goodness. So this week we're at the Colonial Country Club, which is beautiful in Fort Worth, Texas. A little bit of a tighter track than where Byron Nelson used to have his tournament at Las Colinas and certainly currently at Craig's Ranch in McKinney, Texas. This is about an hour away west-southwest of where they were for the Byron Nelson in a place called Colonial. It's a great place. Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, very famous. This week you've got superstars playing, meaning guys that you would typically see at the leaderboard in all of the majors, along with a mix of guys that you wouldn't normally hear much about. So what I'm saying is that you'll have Brant Snedeker playing, alongside Scottie Scheffler and things like that. So there's a lot of folks in the field. I'm just going to go with some players that I think have a real good chance of playing this track very well because of their history of playing it well, and that would include a guy like Gary Woodland. He is going to be one of my picks in this tournament. I also like Kevin Streelman. You don't talk much about him, but he's always around the leaderboard in some of these secondary tournaments. And then I'm going to go with just a big-name guy that that I think plays well in the state of Texas, and that would be your Texas Longhorn Scotty Scheffler. So give me Scheffler, Streelman, and Gary Woodland. You want to listen to these picks, Terry Norvell, because last week we had Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris and Rory McIlroy at the PGA, and I hit 2 of 3, first and second. I would have cleaned the board if this was pari-mutuel wagering. I could have retired with those picks right there on the Wednesday before the PGA. So go with Woodland, Streelman, and we'll go with Scott Scheffler as they get ready now for the U.S. Open in June.
Nice. I wouldn't know two of those three guys if they walked in and slapped Evan Miller right across the face. I wouldn't know either one of two of those guys. But you dominated last week.
Yeah, let me tell you something else that happened last night that you probably would never see again. In the Calgary-Edmonton hockey game, Terry, and I'm going right across the boat here, but in the Calgary-Edmonton hockey game last night, the Calgary Flames were down 3-2. They scored a goal from inside their own blue line. That had to be a shot.
No.
That had to be a shot.
Really?
At least 125, 150 feet. So think about that. A goal scored from 150 feet away. It's almost impossible, but the puck skipped right up through the guy's glove. So there you go. But now we lost the game. Then they
I saw that last night. I watched a few minutes. Howe had a good run, and then Bobby Esposito was in there playing defense, and then Patrick Waugh was in there at goal, and it was a good game last night.
Speaking of Patrick Watt, if you're going to have a Mount Rushmore of goalies, he's going to be on your mountain, as will
Dominic
Hoffman.
Who doesn't know that? I just threw that out on you.
But what my point is that Vasilevsky for Tampa might be on that mountain with him after they play for their third straight Stanley Cup.
At Chris Story Mortgage, they do mortgage lending rights. Helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Dorian Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. The Meldon Law Facebook Live had a guy a moment ago post up. David said, if we're going to talk golf, he's going to get out of here. So I think we're done with golf.
We won't talk golf. Okay, David. David, we just have to do our picks, David. Relax. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Relax, David. To do our picks, David. Come on. Golf
relax, is David. Well, and okay. Our golf talk, I believe, is over here. Terry Norvell in for Shane Matthews. JC, of course, hanging around half of the show. JC, incredible baseball game last night. Pitchers duel, Florida, South Carolina. Sproat for the Gators was incredible. Got a no decision. Sanders for South Carolina, just as incredible. Got a no decision. So they canceled each other out. Florida wins 2-1 in the 10th. A game, JC, where the game came down to three plays at the plate, and Florida won all three plays. Rivera scored to go up 1-0, looked like it was going to hold. Langford gunned out a South Carolina runner at the plate.
Yeah, Wyatt Langford.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish up.
Evans scores on a sack fly to shallow center field with a great throw. The backup catcher, a lot of people didn't realize that was the backup catcher late in the game in for South Carolina. Evans scores. So Florida, a wonderful 2-1 game. I know a lot of people say baseball is boring. If you know the intricacies of baseball, a fascinating game last night that Florida hung on, came back, and won the game. Florida will go now. They'll take on Texas A&M today around 5:30. Rain has just crushed this thing. Texas A&M and Florida play today around 5:30. They did not play in the regular season. Texas A&M, a seeded team. This would be a big win for Florida. But they didn't play in the regular season by a schedule quirk. But what a gutty win for Florida in a tough way to – South Carolina's season's over now. They're under 500. But what a gutty win and a wonderful pitcher's duel last night.
Well, you beat somebody 3 out of 4 times, and you get a performance out of Brandon Sproat, 8 1/3 innings. You know, he allows 4 hits, and he strikes out 7. That looks like a Garrett Cole or a Justin Verlander type of line right there. And, yeah, okay, it's South Carolina, but, you know, it doesn't matter. You throw 8 1/3 in college baseball and allow 4 hits, it's spectacular. Wow. They get that kind of pitching, they're going to have a chance to really compete and win a regional and maybe even would be favored to. I think that with Florida, you know, this thing in Birmingham, it has a way of dragging and dragging. But when you get a guy, throwing for 8 innings, that saves your staff if you are going to make a deep run in something like this. How important is that? I don't know. I think Florida's playing for a host, right?
Florida, yes, I think they can host.
Right. So let's say they put it on and they beat A&M. Are we in the double elimination round now? Is that?
Yeah, yes. It's wacky now. The next 3 days, yeah. Yesterday was single elimination. If you lost, yes. You went home. If you won, you moved on.
Right.
Today, tomorrow, and Friday goes back to double elimination. So Florida could theoretically go 1-2 or add some more wins. And then Saturday, Final Four, single elimination, Sunday, final game. It is a wacky, way too long. They've got to address this thing. Weather will always be a factor in May. But yes, to answer your question, it is back to double elimination for the next 3 days.
I got the answer. Just play it in Dallas under the in Globe Life Stadium under the roof. Make it single elimination throughout and get out of there by Friday. How about that? In the softball,
I would only agree with. I'm fine. Make it single elimination. It needs to be single elimination. I don't want it to move into a full dome. If it's a retractable, yes, I would hate all that baseball to be in a dome.
No,
but May and April showers. Well, you know,
and it doesn't rain in Texas in May, or at least hasn't this month. You can open the roof, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
They got to play it where this thing doesn't drag. I don't know how fans can literally in Birmingham attend this type of event when, you know, we're in the middle of the week. We're in the middle of the work week.
Is that Joe? Did Joe walk
there
by?
There goes Sam. There goes Sam.
He's got to cut the
10th green. He's going to go roll the 11th green and cut that. That's exactly what he's going to do. Yesterday, they laid manure on the greens, a verticut, and poked them, and our greens are going to look great, but, man, it smelled yesterday.
They put what?
You got to get this grass moving.
I thought I smelled something coming from that screenshot. Holy cow.
But back on the tournament, dude, it's just dry. I don't know how anybody can keep up.
How about this scenario? Because of the rain, today, four games, they'll start at 10:30. Kentucky and Auburn did not play last night, so they will play the first game. Alabama-Arkansas, I believe, is the second game. Florida A&M will be the third, and then Vandy-Tennessee play tonight. LSU was one of the four top seeds that got a bye to today. Because of the schedule, LSU, obviously, they were top four. They weren't scheduled to play yesterday. They were scheduled to play today as one of the four move-on bye teams. They will not play today. LSU will play their first game tomorrow because they don't know their opponent between Kentucky and Auburn. It's an absolute mess. It has to go to a single elimination. I'm sorry if a couple of teams say, we need a couple more wins to get in the regional. Well, you know what? You had 60 games. Take care of two or three more wins.
Right.
This thing is out of control. Tony Vitello, the Tennessee coach, late night got on set after the Florida game while they were filling time for the late game. By the way, Vanderbilt beat Ole Miss 3-1 at about 1:30 in the morning. Vitello for Tennessee said basically what all of the really good teams say. He basically said, if we hang around Saturday, Sunday, great, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings if we loaded up that bus and headed back to Knoxville to get ready for regionals.
Right. When Florida blew out Mississippi State last year in this tournament, do you think Mississippi State would have traded that in for a national championship and gone back home? No.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think it's that important for most of the teams in the league, because most of the teams in the league up to maybe seven or eight are going to go to the postseason in some form or fashion.
Absolutely.
It's about seeding for them, and it's about trying to get a better seed for teams like, say, Florida. But you can do that by making this tournament realistic. If you play a game at 10:30 in the morning and then the other game doesn't end until 1:30 in the morning, I don't know what the hell you do. I don't know how you get people
to work. And, J.C., frankly, I was an old college baseball player. I love the game, but trying to get team number 9 or 10 into the regionals, there's not a financial windfall. It's not like you're in the NCAA basketball tournament. You get points, your conference, for every win, and you want to rack up points. The points equal a payout. Well, college baseball, as a matter of fact, the NCAA pays for all travel because your baseball programs don't make money. So there's not a windfall here. But Florida really – a feel-good win. They're playing better. That's three out of four over South Carolina. They play A&M, which would be a good win today. What do you make of Florida, though? I'm not picking on a guy, but I've had issues with Judd Fabian. I know he's a 20-home run guy, and he's a power hitter. I get that. I played college baseball. I understand the game. Mm-hmm. I've had issues with Fabian the last 2 years. I think he's selfish in the batter's box at times. I think When you get to the minor leagues, I'm fine swinging from your heels every time. You're going to get to the big leagues by hitting home runs if you're a Judd Fabian. I get that. That's minor league ball. I watch him, and there's times the last 2 years I think, quit being selfish. Read the situation. You know, your second and third and fourth at-bats, there's times he's still swinging for the fences, rarely makes contact. I'm a little frustrated with Fabian, his approach, and I wonder if the coaches have talked to him about being more of a team player.
Well, you know, that could be handled very easily by simply saying, listen, if you're just going to go up there willy-nilly and swing for the fences and not try to advance runners or do what we need you to do, you're going down in the order or you're not going to be in the order except for pinch hitting duties for a couple of games. Just get his attention. The fact of the matter is that you've got to have all guys working in sync to make this work, to get successful and be a factor in the postseason. And, you know, I looked at the SEC awards. They had two SEC players of the year. Numbers were somewhat identical to Wyatt Langford, and neither included Wyatt Langford.
Couldn't believe it.
But these two other guys from Tennessee and remember, LSU player, who were co-SEC players of the year, had very similar numbers to Langford, but Langford played on a team that didn't have the things that Tennessee has.
I agree.
They didn't have the lineup that would help you be a better hitter. If there's somebody behind you that is as good or bigger threat than you are, that pitcher has to respect that and give you pitches to hit so that he doesn't have to face the other guy behind you when you're sitting on base or whatnot. And Langford hadn't had that all year like these guys at LSU and Tennessee have. That's why I think it was harder for Langford to do what he did playing with this team, because clearly I don't think Florida is as good as Tennessee or LSU. And so that's why Langford should have been given a little bit more consideration, I think, for SEC co-player of the year or SEC player of the year. And I couldn't believe they didn't even honor that.
I'll take it a step further. Okay, I'm with you. He could have easily, in my opinion, won the player of the year with the numbers he put up. Okay, so he doesn't qualify or become co-player of the year. I could live with that, but I can't live with he didn't make first team All-SEC. He made second team. How in the hell? You know, nowadays they stretch those first teams out. It's not like, well, the other guys were also left fielders. Wyatt Langford had an All-SEC season.
He was great. Really, he's great. He's the best player on the team. In my opinion, he's the guy that Florida has to have that plays a little bit above and beyond if they're going to be successful in this postseason.
And, JC, you know who got bailed out last night in that game, in that Florida 2-1 win over South Carolina? Third base coach Craig Bail. On two of the three, I told you the game came down to three plays at the plate. Two of the plays, Bell made the wrong read, probably. He held up Evans the first time. You got to send him. He probably scores even on a good throw the first time. And they had a great camera angle where Evans was four or five steps around third when the center fielder was fielding the ball. He airmailed it. You don't know if he's going to airmail it or not, but he airmailed it. But a late stop.
Make him throw it. You make the defense try to make a play. Yeah. You force and then, that's how you win.
So a late stop by Bell. And you could see Bell, the coach, he was distraught with his face. You know, made the wrong call. Obviously, Halter hits a line drive. And the game-winning sacrifice fly was very shallow. And that was a tough tag up for Evans. The minute the ball's hit, he's already off third base. The minute the ball's hit, and JC, you know, for your baseball days, you kind of take a couple small hops. So you're 20 feet away from third base. It was an absolute rocket to the center fielder coming in, and it was shallow. Momentum for Evans was going back. That was a bang bang play, and he was out at the plate if the catcher held the ball and the ball got loose the minute that there was contact. JC, a lot of people didn't realize another subtlety in baseball. That was the backup catcher. The starting catcher got lifted about two innings earlier for a pinch runner, I think, or hitter. But that was the backup catcher. The ball came out and game was over. Great slide, by the way, by Evans, and a great job by Langford, who was telling him to go inside or outside. Great finish. But you felt bad for the backup catcher for South Carolina as well.
Yeah, South Carolina is just, you know, the only time I haven't felt bad for South Carolina is when they beat up on Florida, I guess. I couldn't believe that. That shocked me more than anything. South Carolina's baseball program since Ray Tanner has really kind of hit the skids, and I'm not sure exactly. And I know Ray Tanner is the athletic director and whatnot, but you would think, wouldn't you, that he has a lot of influence with the baseball program. And I'm just very surprised because that was a powerhouse in the early part of this last decade.
Wrapping up the incredible pitchers duel, Florida wins last night. Slater comes in and gets the win. No decision for Sproat, who had a great outing. Florida gives up four total hits and had like nine strikeouts of South Carolina batters. Oh, how about great. South Carolina? South Carolina allowed six Gator hits and struck out 14 Gator batters, the combined two pitchers. Great 2-1 pitchers duel won by the Gators. Quickly, JC, your time's out. I don't want to keep you too much longer. You touched on it. The Bama, A&M, Saban, Jimbo thing's not going to go away. It's going to rekindle in July. Did you notice what happened yesterday, though? Alabama gets a verbal commitment from a high star recruit quarterback who was a former A&M commit. Oh, how does that stir the pot up again?
Oh, yeah, man. Eli, this guy's name is Eli. So he's about the size of Andrew Luck. And Jimmy Bo had him ready to go, and he just scooted on Jimmy Bo. Listen, Jimmy Bo is writing checks that I don't think his team's going to be able to cash. And even though they're very talented, they're going to have a lot of great players running around on that field. Until they show me they can win the West, I don't want to hear it. And yet, there he is, running his mouth because he's got something up his rear end for Nick Saban. Whatever you want to call it. Listen, it's fine. Nobody in Alabama's losing sleep over this. I can assure you that.
That was so funny, though, wasn't it? It's so ironic that they get a recruit from A&M, kind of.
Yeah, he's now committed to come to Alabama as a four-star. He's Andrew Luck replica, is what they say. So,
JC, get out of here. Good job. Don't step in that manure out there, okay?
Listen, Gary Woodland, Kevin Streelman, Scotty Scheffler, those are your winners this weekend, okay?
Get him out of here. He is JC. I'm Terry Norvell in for Shane Matthews. Real quick before we break, a lot of Gator softball talk on the other side. And I want to tell you, I've got a great This Day in Sports coming up on the other side as well, presented by Comfort Tent. Comfort Tent is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Beat the summer heat and schedule your air conditioner tune-up today, keeping you chill and the Florida heat far away. Comfort Tent Heating and Air. Call us today, 352-376-2366. Also, keep those Facebook Live questions and comments coming on the Meldon Law Facebook Live. The only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators is Meldon Law. Half a show left, a lot to get to. Terry Norvell in for Shane Matthews. We'll take it to the second half on Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co., Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, Aikido America, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Silver Q Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Pro football legend Emmett Smith understands your joint pain.
It does not surprise me that there are a ton of people out there that's in pain.
That's why Emmett is such a proponent of QC Kinetics, offering real lasting joint pain relief with non-surgical, all-natural biologic treatments.
Whether it's a joint pain, ankle pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, back pain, hip pain, any kind of pain, the body eventually will break down when it's under that much stress.
That stress can cloud your judgment to the point that you'll just say yes to the scalpel or yes to another prescription of pain pills. But maybe it's time for a second opinion from QC Kinetics.
The reason why I would recommend this is because the natural biologics that QC Kinetics is providing you gives your body a chance to naturally heal itself.
Restorative, regenerative solutions are here. Get lasting relief and live your life.
Call QC Kinetics 352-400-4550. That's 352-400-4550. QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550.
Hey, back we are. Wednesday edition, Pot Up with Matthews in the morning. Shane out today. We think he'll be back tomorrow. I'm Terry Norvell filling in. Had a great time a moment ago with JC, the co-host of the show. Enjoy talking ball and kicking it a little bit with JC. A lot to get to here in the second half. I teased a moment ago the comfort temp this day in sports. How about this one? I mean, it will be hard to top this one. We take it back to 1935. We go way back to 1935. This day in sports has been called the greatest 45 minutes in sports history. Okay? Many historians in and around the world of sports have called this and dubbed this the greatest 45 minutes in the history of sports. 1935, competing in the Big Ten Track and Field Championships. Okay? 1935, competing for Ohio State in the Big Ten Track and Field Championships. The great Jesse Owens accomplished this feat, or these feats, in a 45-minute span. He set or tied three world records in 45 minutes at the Big Ten Track and Field Championship in 1935, called the greatest 45 minutes in sports history. Jesse Owens set the world record in the 220-yard dash. It was called dashes and yards back then. Okay, so he sets the record in the 220 dash, world record. A few moments later, he sets the world record in the 220 low hurdles. Okay? So he's going from event to event. He also tied the existing world record in the 100-yard dash. All of this at the Big Ten Track and Field Championships in 1935 in a 45-minute span, called the greatest 45 minutes in the history of sports, the great Jesse Owens. And then he did something even more incredible in an Olympic Games. Wow, how about that? How about that for your comfort, Tim? How you like that, Evan? How you like those apples there as he's shaking his head? Yes, yes, yes. Wanted to get to Herschel Walker. Will try. He won his primary last night. He will be the Republican contender for the Senate seat in Georgia. Wanted to get to it. I'll try and work that in as we go. Got to talk some Gator softball as well. The softball regionals start on Friday, Florida, I think it's a 2 o'clock first pitch in Blacksburg, are the Gators softball team. And I love the draw. We're going to try and flash up in a moment, not right now, but in a moment, the bracket. I love Florida's draw in that bracket. So we want to get to some Gator softball. Remind you that Gator baseball today around 5:30 against Texas A&M, as Florida won a late game last night, 2-1 over South Carolina. Texas A&M and Florida did not play this year. A&M is a solid top 10 team. That would be another quality win if Florida could get it today over Texas A&M. Florida will play two more games at minimum. The tournament now, today, tomorrow, and Friday, turns back into a double elimination. It's a wacky, wacky mess. The SEC really needs to address the tournament. That sets up, baseball. Let me throw this stuff out about Herschel Walker, though, man. One of my favorite, a great player, obviously burst onto the scene at the University of Georgia. You talk about a Hollywood movie waiting to be made. What about the adult life of Herschel Walker? Starting when he got to Georgia, really when his name got out there. The incredible college career. We know him as the great running back for the Georgia Bulldogs, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion winner. Many people, and I consider in my era of college football, he's the greatest player I've ever seen. Hands down, the greatest player I've ever seen. That's debatable. I get it. And we'll get a lot of Milton Law Facebooks on that, I'm sure. But Herschel Walker, incredible college career, Heisman Trophy, national champion, okay? Herschel Walker then, you may have forgotten this or not been aware of this. Herschel Walker was the first football player to leave early for the professional ranks. He didn't go to the NFL. He went to the USFL. Up until that point, nobody had ever been able to be accepted into pro football before their senior year. That was never done before Herschel Walker broke the barrier and entered the USFL because he got offered a huge deal by the New Jersey Generals. So he sets history there. All the play, the NFL then looked at that and said, we have to. This is a legitimate league that will take underclassmen. That forced the NFL. So all the guys that came, that have come to the NFL early with college eligibility left, they can thank Herschel Walker for breaking that. Herschel Walker, incredible career, USFL, gaudy numbers. Do you realize he's got some NFL numbers that may never be touched? The only player in the history of the NFL to score a touchdown on a 90 yard or more rushing attempt, reception, and return. He went 90 yards or more with a run, a reception, and a return. Never been done. Herschel Walker, NFL, only player to ever amass 4,000 or more yards in a career, rushing, receiving, and returning. Gaudy numbers. Herschel Walker, Olympian, was on a bobsled team, went to the Olympics, reality TV star, fifth degree black belt, Herschel Walker. He performed in a professional ballet, won the Superstars competition in the 80s, dabbled around for two fights in the professional MMA. Just incredible, incredible adult life and resume for Herschel Walker. That is a movie waiting to happen. And if you didn't notice, last night Herschel won the Republican primary in Georgia. He will now go to the Senate race in November. Against Warnock. So Herschel Walker will be the Republican representative trying to win a Senate seat in Georgia. That, my friends, is a incredible, incredible adult life story waiting to be made into a movie. Herschel Walker. Wow. Interesting. Real interesting. Ruse Ogre State Farm Insurance is a team of dedicated insurance professionals ready to help life go right with the right insurance options for you and, of course, for your family. Visit ogreinsurance.com or call them at 352-240-1779, Ruse Ogre State Farm Insurance. And, of course, if you've got joint pain in your knees, your shoulders, hip, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. Not surgery, not drugs, not a lot of downtime. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics by calling them at 352-400-4550. Again, call QC Kinetics 352-400-4550 and take care of that pain. Got a lot of comments coming in on the Melbourne Law Facebook Live questions and comments. Of course, Melbourne Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. And a lot of people asking about softball. Evan, if we can go ahead and pop up that graphic, the softball graphic showing the super regionals. I want you to take a look at it, people. And I love the Gator softball draw where they're at. No disrespect to Virginia Tech, and Tech has had a great year. But look at the top right. Florida will open up Friday against the three national seed, Virginia Tech. I can't wait to watch this. Big Bad Florida, the brand that is Gator softball, rarely goes on the road. They're going to roll into Blacksburg with confidence, and they should. If Florida can get by Virginia Tech, they would play the winner of Oregon State, Stanford. Neither are national seeds. As I understand it, Florida would host. If Florida can beat Virginia Tech, they will host a super regional. No, I'm sorry. They would move on. They would be matched up with the Stanford, Oregon State. If they win their super regional, they would be matched up with an unseeded team. I think they may reseed, but I love where Florida is at. If they stay like this, they don't have to mess with Oklahoma until late. To me, that is for a number 14 seed. It worked out well. Virginia Tech is just not a historical, you know, power in softball. Thank you very much for that, Evan. But man, I like the Gators. I really love where they're at. Now they got to go win. You got to go on the road, which Florida has rarely gone on the road in softball in super regionals. They normally host. They got to go on the road and somehow win too. And I would imagine that's going to be a packed house, and Virginia Tech fans are going to be, they're going to be just, you know, off the chain. But man, if they can get out of there, I like their chances a lot. I really do. Gator baseball and SEC baseball, what a mess they are having over in in Hoover, and it happens every year. The weather is always going to be a factor in softball, in the tournaments, in softball and baseball. You heard JC a moment ago. He said, you know, move this thing to one of those retractable domes. That's the only dome I would be comfortable with. I would rather put up with Mother Nature in a single, not a double, in a single elimination tournament. I would rather put up with Mother Nature to have the great game of baseball and softball played outdoors. But I could live with it if you found the dome with a retractable roof, if you promised to open it up when you could. But, man, what an absolute mess. Today at the SEC baseball tournament in Hoover, they're going to try and get four games in today. Only got three last night. LSU will be moved. They won't play their first game until Thursday. Today, first game, Kentucky-Auburn. Alabama-Arkansas, I believe, is the 2 o'clock. Florida-Texas A&M is set now. That's a 5:30-ish first pitch. Florida and Texas A&M today, and the night game, Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Vanderbilt won a late game last night over Ole Miss 3-1. Vanderbilt-Tennessee will be fun. Florida trying to get another quality win and fix that resume or pad that resume more, trying to host a regional. The Gators did not play Texas A&M. You don't play everybody every year. So Florida and Texas A&M did not play at all this year in the SEC baseball regular season. They will play today. Texas A&M is a seeded team in the top 10. This would be another really big quality win for the Gators if they can get it over Texas A&M. It is now double elimination today, Wednesday, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Double elimination. So Florida will play at least two more games out in Hoover. It is a wacky setup. So double elimination the next 3 days. Yesterday was win and move on, lose and go home. It was single elimination yesterday, all three games. It is double elimination for the next 3 days. Then Saturday and Sunday, it is back to single elimination. Crazy setup for the SEC baseball tournament. I think they've got to cut it down to a single elimination tournament. Two teams don't make it, 12 do. It's just tough to get 12 teams. A baseball tournament works best with eight. It just flows well. You can build in a weather day. And if you use the weather day, it's still not that long, laborious tournament. The SEC tournament, Tuesday through Sunday, that is a lot of work. And one of the big arguments, and we brought it up with JC earlier, and I'll bring it up again. One of the big arguments is, well, Terry, you want it to keep it double elimination because a couple of your teams may be in the tournament that don't have quite enough wins to get a regional bid. So they need games / wins to pad their resume. You know what? If you're team 9 or 10 trying to get 2 or 3 more wins, I don't want to punish the entire conference to give you a chance to do something that you didn't quite do in 60 regular season games, right? That's kind of how I see that thing. But the SEC really, really needs to address this, in my opinion. It drags on too long. 12 teams trying to get them to play. Two teams don't make it. Missouri and Mississippi State did not make it. They did not qualify. Remember now, in a couple of years, you're going to have Oklahoma and Texas. I guess you're going to hold 4 teams out and let the other 12 play because you really can't add more than 12. You can barely squeeze it in now. But Florida is alive in both baseball in the conference tournament and, of course, softball in the super regionals. Those start on Friday. Just want to go over all of that. The tournament now in Hoover is just today is key. If they can somehow get all 4 in today, you kind of get back on track. If they lose a game today or two, it really gets messy. It really, really gets messy. We'll see how that plays out. Let's take a quick break, reset, and let you know what we covered and what's coming up the rest of the week here on Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co., Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Ironwood Golf Course, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Hey, welcome back. Putting a cap on a Wednesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the morning. Terry Norvell sitting in for Shane here as we wrap it up. Before I forget, I want to thank, as always, Evan Miller producing, doing everything back in world headquarters in Spurrier. Gridiron Grill World Headquarters. John checking in on the Meldon Law Facebook Live comments and questions. He kind of reiterated what I was bringing up. Boy, man, I love the Florida draw in softball. Just absolutely love it. For a 14 seed that is on the road, you can't ask for a lot more. No disrespect to Virginia Tech, and the Gators got to go beat them. But again, Florida plays at Virginia Tech. If the Gators win that series, if they can get by that super regional, they are bracketed up with the Stanford Oregon State bracket and super regional. Neither one of those teams were national seeds. That doesn't mean they're not great teams. What Stanford did in Tuscaloosa was very, very impressive, but it's a nice setup. Oklahoma is in the other side. They're on the other side, big bad Oklahoma. So Florida would not have to wrestle them until really the finals. I mean, you would not have to wrestle. Now you'd have to beat Oklahoma 2 out of 3 if that happened. But it is nice to see Oklahoma on the other side. A non-national seed potential opponent if you get out of the super regionals and make it to Oklahoma City. And another little subtle break. And both of these programs would not have been in Florida's side, but I don't think, but Florida State, the 2 overall seed got knocked out, and Alabama, the number 6 overall seed, got knocked out. Florida would have probably been in the side with 1, maybe both of those, depending on how that played out. But they didn't have to, not that Florida can't beat FSU in softball or Alabama, but those are 2 programs that have really at times had Florida's number and played toe-to-toe with the Gators. So this thing has kind of played out pretty nice, at least on paper. Now, paper doesn't win games. You got to go win games. And matter of fact, you don't win game. You got to win 2 games. 1 doesn't do it. You got to take 2 out of 3 in the super regionals. But I know I will be watching. Can't wait to watch some more great softball over the holiday weekend. It is so much fun. But we've got SEC baseball as well. 4 games scheduled today. LSU will not play until tomorrow. That's a crazy quirk. LSU won't play their first game in Hoover because of rain until tomorrow. Florida, the 3rd game today, 5:30 against Texas A&M. We just can hope that they get all 4 games in and kind of get back on schedule. Baseball, softball taking center stage. I hope you enjoyed us previewing it, reviewing last night's Gator thrilling baseball win, and kind of looking ahead to baseball and softball as the week plays out. That'll wrap it up for JC and, of course, Evan Miller producing. I'm Terry Norvell in for Shane Matthews. Thank you for hanging out with us here on a midweek edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.